Again, I must apologize for last week's that I wasn't prepared and we had to skip one of the lessons. This week, just sticking to the program, we look at Ghazali, and probably next week would be the last. Next meaning not next, but next week for Tahzib or Ihya Ulumuddin would be the last. So this is the second last in this series of lectures on Ihya Ulumuddin. Today we look, and this is because the concepts being sort of mentioned now are not very easy to handle. And though I'll try, one thing has to be borne in mind, that these are concepts which have been extracted from Islamic sort of sources, or the mention of these things is there, I mean, in abundance, in our sources as well as Sunni sources. But what we have to bear in mind is this is Ghazali's interpretation of them. Everybody, when encountering new ideas, new things, or even things mentioned in the Hadith, in the Quran, then you try to sort of have an understanding of it, relate it to your life. How do you interpret it? The interpretation is not given in the Hadith. The interpretation is not given in the Quran. Quran, for example, even the topic we are talking about today, Tawheed and Tawakkul. Tawheed is something which we all know will come. Tawakkul, for example, is mentioned in the Quran, but what exactly it means, or what is it behind it, well, nobody knows. Nobody knows in the sense that it doesn't say that this is exactly in the preview in detail. People have then their understanding of the, what it means, and Ghazali has his understanding, Kashani has his, and others have theirs, and so on and so forth. And then you look at other material which is available and maybe sort of try to deduce something else. So we have to understand that all we have said, we were trying to give Ghazali's interpretation. It is one of the interpretations of many possible interpretations. So if you have a better interpretation which sort of fits these things better, then you are welcome to it and you should use that one. Ghazali has tried his best with all his, and remember, everything he believed comes into this. It's like a big jigsaw puzzle. Everything we believe as well is like a big jigsaw puzzle. Sometimes pieces don't fit. We keep them beside, on the side. And then later on new things come in and we see that the whole jigsaw sort of starts changing and those pieces start fitting in. Some still stay out. And this is a constant process and we must be aware of it. And Ghazali may have other experiences, other beliefs with which he tries to fit these things. We may have other beliefs, and so on and so forth. So the two concepts which we want to talk today, one of them is Tawheed and the other one is Tawakkul. And according to him, both of them are very much related. Now Tawheed, as we know, literally means to make one. Wahada. Tawheed is the verbal noun for Wahada. And we are all aware of the concept of Tawheed, that is oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what sort of the word Tawheed. Tawheed is not there in the Quran, the word itself. It's not, there is no word saying that Tawheed or Wahada or some, whatever. Though the phrase La ilaha illallah or this Tawheed sort of is implied that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us know it's there and it's the basis and the root of religion, Islam. But Tawheed is this belief, or to make one. Literally it means make one, a phrase which has been coined not from the Quran but outside the Quran to this concept of making everything one. Now, Ghazali says that as far as Tawheed is concerned, there are two or three stages. One of them is somebody who says La ilaha illallah but does not believe in it. That is the most outward phase. That is of nifaq. But even this phrase that is used in everyday life, that is somebody living in a Muslim society, if he says La ilaha illallah, he'll be excused from all the things that the kuffars are sort of responsible for, or he'll be treated as one of them as far as fiqh is concerned, as far as all other laws are concerned, but we are not concerned with it here, hoping that we are not amongst them. The other stage he says is that people sort of just believe in this thing. Now, the Sufis and many others have got this concept of, say, not, and when we believe, and he says ordinary Muslims believe, they believe in the Tawheed of creation, that everything has been created by Allah. And this says, yeah, people, ordinary people believe it, and this is enough for taking you to heaven and getting all the khawab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. And this is where most of the ordinary people stop thinking. Everything has been created by Allah, but there are thousands and millions of things and all these causes and effects and all these things, and they rely on them and they think that these are also effective and all this and others. But that is the common Muslim as far as we go. When he means common Muslims, us. And that is true, that's what we believe and this is how we interpret. But he says, no, those who are, there are a group of people who go further, not only believe in Tawheed of creation, they believe in Tawheed of even action. Action is that nothing happens, but Allah causes it. This is what he means by Tawheed of action. Now, not all of us believe this, or not, you know, I mean, and not all of us can even sort of outwardly also claim that, look, this is true or even justified. And he admits this, says these are not easy concepts, these are difficult concepts. To say that everything that happens in this world is not caused by the cause, or not caused by this, not caused by that, but it's caused by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is true Tawheed. Only Allah can do things. Nobody else has got the power to do anything else, or has got power to do nothing, in fact. But even this, he says, you may think that, okay, Allah is the cause of everything, but there are many things which exist. He says there is a final stage which only the Sufis, and we are not even allowed to explain this thing, this is about, and that is that you don't even see many things, you only see one thing. There aren't many things in the world, there is only one thing in the whole universe, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing else. And this, he says, is of the most top stage, and this is what the Sufis say, I mean, not only Ghazali, many other sort of Sufis and Urafa believe in this sort of thing. And he tries to explain what it means. The examples given are good, that's why I would like to sort of show you that there are sort of people, or they have got some justification, it's not sort of just hairy-fairy ideas. He says, when you look at any person, there are different ways of looking at everything, he says. And when I say that these people look, and they see only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not that they sort of disclaim that nothing exists or anything, but it's the way they see it, the way. And that is, he says, in practical life, we do it. When we look at somebody, for example, Zayd, we look at Zayd, a person, he as a whole, I mean, we look at him as one. He's not one. He's got hands, he's got fingers, he's got heart, he's got a body, he's got so many millions of other things. Maybe a doctor would look at him differently, saying, oh, he's got mane, he's got heart, going in, liver, these, all these millions of things going within himself, and a psychologist will look at different things, and somebody thousands of thoughts in his heart. But we, when we talk of Zayd, we talk of him as a unit, as one. Everything that is within, everything that is there is he, Zayd. That is what Zayd is. Similarly, it says when these Muwahids, they look at the world, everything they see is a reflection of Allah. It's Allah, it's only nothing. And there are sort of very bad examples in history where these people have suffered a lot because of this sort of beliefs. And something that comes to mind is one of these famous Sufis who was killed just because he used to proclaim, I am nothing, or I am God, meaning that there is nothing, but even if I am that, I am God. I mean, there is nothing exists but only Allah who exists. And saying that, Anal Haq, I am the truth. And people said he thinks that he's God and they killed him. Yes, Muslims killed him, not non-Muslims. But anyway, these are sort of things that we don't. And he says these are not things that I am, and we are not going into that as well. And he says it's not necessary to sort of go, as far as we know that everything or the power, the source that behind everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he it is who gives everything that has got anything. That is sufficient even for tawakkul, which is what he comes next. Now this idea is not sort of alien to any, I mean this is there in all Islamic literature, it is full of it that we should not think that anything is independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if there are causes, these causes are causes because Allah has made them causes. They do not have independence in themselves. So we shouldn't be going and looking and asking and praying at the causes, which we do in fact many a times. We should be asking Allah. And when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is not going to do things by magic. Things will not just happen. You close your eyes and open and they'll be there. Even if they happen, they will happen through these causes. And that does not mean that it's not Allah who is doing it. Because the world is designed in such a way that everything can happen by cause. Even if you look at when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that these people disobeyed and we destroyed them, He did not destroy them just like, they just get destroyed. It can happen, Allah can do this, isn't it? But He destroyed them through causes. For example, Fir'aun, He drowned him. There's no need for drowning him. He could have been destroyed just without drowning. Or this other, they were sent a cold wind, or this, an earthquake, and that, or this, and that, whatever natural causes were there which sort of destroyed them. So even though Allah wanted to destroy them, this is how the world is created, that He destroyed them through natural causes. And somebody not believing in Allah can say, no, there's nothing to do with azab. They were destroyed because there was an earthquake. They were destroyed because there was a flood. They were destroyed because there was death. And if you do not have Allah in your view, it is explainable by natural causes, all these other azabs in it. So he says that even these causes, they are not, and this is what we and Islam and sort of tries to tell you, that these are not independent themselves. Allah makes them. And it's got a very long-winded example, which is a very common example. Even, many other people have, maybe Ghazali has also taken it from somewhere, I don't know. He said, if an ant were to look at a person who is writing, and the ant is on the paper, and she only, the ant eat, or she or he, eat, only sees the mark in which are being made on the paper, what is it going to think? Who is making the marking? The pen? The nib? The pen? And then even if it goes further, then he sort of goes quite a few pages, okay, says the nib, and he asks the nib, sort of going in a dialogue form. And the nib says, I've got nothing to do with it, it's the pen, it is moving, and I'm moving with it. And then ask the pen, and the pen says, the hand is moving, and I'm moving, I've got nothing to do with it. The hand says, no, I've got nothing to do with it, the muscles are contracting in this. So finally comes to the intentions, and then the intentions, and even today, medical, I am not an expert, but from what I know, nobody has sort of come, even there are people nowadays, very well-known scientists, who think that everything is done by sort of chemical. There are some chemicals which shoot, or electrical currents, or this or that, and this triggers this, and triggers that, and triggers the muscles, and this. But where does I making the intention and then causing this trigger to come is not a very simple thing to derive. And the ant, he says, will never probably even come to this me, and that I am doing, and it's my intention that sort of I intend, and then I confirm this intention, and then all these things are triggered and happens, and this moves, and that moves, and then the final head moves, and the pen moves, and it's written. And how is this poor ant going to know that this intention, which is sort of happening, and all my thinking, my purpose for it, why am I writing to a friend or somebody? I think the poor ant is on the paper, doesn't know what a friend is and what your friend is and what your purpose. So these are sort of things that we are like it. All these things happening, we do not know. We are like an ant on this paper who's seeing marks happening. Doesn't understand what the purpose of these marks are, that they constitute the word, and the word constitutes sentences, constitutes something, my intention is just to be given to somebody else's intention. All these things, this is our example. Looking at this world, we are like it. We don't know why things are happening, and we don't have a full picture. So that's why we get confused. And we should believe that this is what is causing, and Allah has got some purpose, and there is purpose behind all these things, and they have their causes themselves. Now in this example of the ant, may not be a very suitable one, because in everyday life there are people who actually have intentions as well, choice as well, whereas here the pen and all these things didn't have any choice. They are not free agents. But in the real life, you can sort of extend it. People do things out of real choice. If Allah sort of wants people to do things, He can also want them to do them out of their choice. I mean, this is sort of may seem a contradiction, but this is how it has been explained. I do not want to go into this detail. But what he says by Tawheed, what we have to believe is that yes, apart from Allah, nobody has a power. And even if somebody has some power, the power are not his. This is easy to understand, and that's where we want to stop and not go any further. And even, for example, there are causes. These causes are also devised by Allah, and the causes independently cannot do anything to you. They cannot turn against you independently. They can only operate in the sphere that Allah has designed for them. Now, this is not very difficult. There is another example also given in modern terminology. That is the case of, for example, when we receive something. We receive it through causes. It's been given the example of a postman. If you receive a letter, a small child may be sort of mistaken for thinking it's the postman who is giving the letter. The postman's job is just delivering the letter. The letter is not from them. You do not go and thank the postman, thank you very much for giving me a letter and all, write again and please give me another letter and all this thing. You know that there is somebody else who has written and there is this whole process by which this letter comes to you. And okay, you may thank the postman for doing his bit of the duties by delivering the letter, not giving it to the wrong address, and so on and so forth. So he also deserves some sort of thanks. That is, so this is the people who think that the cause is what is giving them everything. He's like a person who thanks the postman and says, give me again, and give me more, and tries to bribe the postman, give me more letters, or send me more letters, or this. He doesn't know that the real cause is not the postman. He is just delivering what has been written to you, what is designed for your addressing. These are the causes which bring things to us. And we have to understand, they have not independent in that. They cannot create letters and give it to you. They can only deliver it to you, what is for you. And so on and so forth. If you want more letters, you have to ask the person who is writing letters to give you more, send you more letters. And so on and so forth. These examples actually make clarify certain things which are sort of evoked by religion. And because the people like this, for example, say that though we would be looking fools when we sort of advocate tawakkul, it is these people who do not have tawakkul or do not believe in tawhid of action. They are fools. They are like people who are kids and think that the postman is delivering everything, and so on and so forth. So this was, as far as Tawheed is concerned, he says that this Tawheed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responsible for everything. He is the sole power, the sole cause of everything. That leads us to Tawakkul. Now what does Tawakkul mean? Now Tawheed also, before we proceed, the literal meaning of Tawheed is to make one. Everything is from Allah. I mean, this is a very nice sort of word. Everything is to make everything as one, coming from one, so that we see only Allah. And the real meaning would be, as Ghazali says, to see only Allah, to see one only, nothing else, to make everything into one. Wahada, to make, this is from this form, the second form, as we say, is to make that thing. So wahada is to make one. So everything we saw, all the causes, they are one cause, sort of to make them into one cause, that is one cause that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it says that this naturally gives us tawakkul, or the concept. Tawakkul is tawakkul means to rely or to entrust or trust somebody. Give your affairs and to somebody and be sort of and be say content that your matters are going to be dealt properly. Now the concept of tawakkul is there in the Quran as well. It's not like sort of the word tawakkul, the word itself. And in fact in our duas and all this thing, I mean, it is full. I mean, those of you who recite the recommended dua after the morning prayer, look, it's full of tawakkul. Ufawwizu amri ilallah. Ufawwizu, I give my matters, I sign my matters, I ascribe my matters, I hand, give away my matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also hasbunallah. Hasbunallah is also part of tawakkul. Allah is enough for us. don't need anybody else. He is enough for me, and everything that he does is. And this is given in the hadith as well. In our hadith, that it is very clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this big hadith, it says that anybody else, anybody who thinks that I am the cause of everything and who relies on me, then I am enough for him. But if he does not believe in that, that I am enough for him, that I am the cause of everything, then I leave him with his causes and will make him sort of zaleel in this world. This, because I tell him, look, these causes you think they are there, they are the ones who give you, go, ask them, and you can deal with them yourself. So that I sort of leave him to his causes, and he will be become sort of base and demeaned in this world, because they are not the things that do everything. I am the one who do things, and I am the one who create everything, and everything is in my hand. And anybody who has tawakkul in me, then I am enough for him, and I will give him what he has trusted to me. And also in the Quran we have وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. This is the ayah from the Quran. Whoever trusts in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is enough for him. Now these things have sort of created an interpretation amongst Muslims, which is, I mean, it seems it's wrong. I mean, we have to be very careful when we say it's wrong. We don't understand. It does not agree with what we say. Now these people say, we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they fall ill, there are people, they say, Allah is going to cure me, I'm not going to look for any cures. When I'm hungry, they say, I'm not going to look for food, Allah will give me the food. And we may laugh at this, but we have these concepts as well as ordinary people. When we cannot explain things, we also talk in the same thing, same way. We say, oh, this risk is his, I mean, whether he works for it, I mean, all risk has something, your name written on it, and it will reach you. And these sort of things, when somebody dies, we say, it's God's wish. And if he lives, it wasn't God's wish, it was Nizar's wish that he desires the good cure or something. Whatever. When we understand things, we sort of describe it to the... And we don't understand it, then only we describe it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas religion is different. He says everything is Allah's. He is the cause, not of only making you die, but making you live as well. We sometimes believe that, yeah, die we can understand. I can kill myself, I can take poison, I can do this. These are the causes that can kill me. But if I were to tell you, Simone, I have created some life, you would say, no, this is not possible. This is in the hands of Allah only to create something. But as far as the wording in the Quran, the Hadith and all these things are concerned, it is clear. Allah gives life and takes away life. Both the things are put equally. He doesn't say that he only gives life and you can take away life and other things can take away life and all these things. Okay, that means that we are sort of ignorant of full causes of how life is, and we have not been able to identify the causes, but we are aware of how life goes away. So we sort of ascribe it to this aspect. Whereas as far as religion is concerned, both are the same. We may be ignorant of other things, that doesn't mean that they work differently. And this applies to many other things. In fact, in hadith also we have, for example, people think on the day of Qiyamah or on this, there are no rules. Everything will be like magic. Allah will just raise you by like magic. No, it is just like in this world he has created. Now, this is what the Quran says. We'll create you again just like we created in this world. And this world has got rules and regulations and causes and effects and all this. In this, that world has got causes and effects. Nobody, religion is not interested in going in those deep causes, but just telling you that Allah does it. In this world he creates, but there are causes. You don't just created. Just like that, lo and behold, and you become. No, there are ways, causes, you have to go through these causes. And in the next world also, it is similar. There is no doubt about it. Cause may be different, but there are causes. And so now these people, they said that, no, we trust in Allah. We are not going to do anything. It is against tawakkul. In fact, Ghazali himself says that there are three kinds of causes. That is everyday causes. There is one that we are sure that is the cause. For example, hungry, I'm sure if I eat, my hunger will go away. So food gets rid of hunger. Drink gets rid of thirst. Everybody knows that. This, he says, and then to go for food when you are hungry is not against tawa. You see, there are other causes you are not sure about that. They may work sometimes, they don't work sometimes. You may work hard, you may get food. You may work hard, you may not get food. You may work hard and you may succeed, and you may work hard and you may not succeed. So these are things that would, they are sort of not 100% sort of the cause. You cannot say that, okay, you do this, 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 and you will 100% pass your exams. You work so hard and you will definitely. No, there are people who work even harder and don't pass it. Maybe other reasons. This is only one of the causes. Even this, he says, is not against tawakkul, because most of the time it works. Generally, we know these are the causes, these are the forms. So then there are a set of causes which are actually, we think that they may be, they have some sort of contribution in the effect. So going after these unknown causes is against tawakkul. Why should you want to go? Leave it to Allah and it will happen. And what some modern sort of people have said is that it's clear that from what Ghazali says, something that was hidden in his time is now evident. There are many sites have progressed, knowledge has progressed, and many things which they used to think are not causes are causes now. We know them by death, by sure. Look at an example. Another good example which even they use is medicine. Medicine in all sites and everybody uses it. That's why it's not that I put any sort of inclination towards medicine or anything like that. But they say that, for example, there are causes for certain diseases or cures which were unknown to them. Today we know that. So these have become from his zan, or he is sort of, probably there is something in it, to definitely now we know that these are the sort. So things which were not tawakkul for it have become tawakkul for us, because we know they are definitely the causes. So you see, this is not actually the way how we should be tackling this issue. He says, for example, to go after this sort of hidden causes are not evident, is against tawakkul. Trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to trust in Him. So this is his view. Now, definitely, I mean, that means that going after all this research and all this thing, according to him, is against tawakkul. Why do you want to worry about doing research and this and find out the hidden causes and all these things? And in fact, Kashan is with him in this form, that looking for all these hidden causes for everyday life and trying to uncover them and all these things is against tawakkul. But this, he at least is sort of clear in saying that looking at the evident causes, for example, eating when you are hungry is not. There are people who actually think this also, working, all these things. And Ghazali also tried, because there are some Sufis who used to sort of say that if you have trust in Allah, Allah will feed you no matter how. You don't have to worry and go and work. And this thing, and he tries to defend all sort of thing that depends on your trust. Whereas Kashyap, he says, he's talking nonsense here, and we should forget about it, because all hadith, all Quran, everything says that you have to go and look for your bread. Allah is not going to give it to you. Though there are hadiths, this is interesting as well as very uncharted territory. I mean, how to sort of put all this. So that's why I give you everything. Maybe you have got a better explanation. I shouldn't try to sort of block things that I don't understand. There is hadith, for example, quoted very often from one of the Imams, saying that ar-rizqu rizqan. There are two types of risk. One, rizqun yatlubuka. It's a risk which seeks you out, wherever you are, as if it's like this missile. Seeks out, heat-seeking missile, seeks out the heat, hits it, whatever happens. This risk seeks you out wherever you are, whether you work, you don't work, and hits you and it comes to you. And there is rizqun tatlubuhu. And there is another risk that you have to seek it out. Right? So saying that there are two types of risk. Now, so that means that one type of risk, you'll get it no matter what you do. And this, we actually, it's not sort of surprising, this explains many things in the world, you see. There are things like inheritance. I mean, you don't work for it, you get it. Prince Charles, I like to talk about him a lot, and he becomes a prince not because he wants it. Did something, but because this princeness or whatever sought him out, right? Because he was born to the queen or whatever. And he got it. But risk for working, I mean, these things and the success that comes out of work is not like that. That is the other type of risk, which is there conditional on your working and all these things. So maybe some of the things which are in religion, which talks about that you will get your reins for the sort of things that we say that everything has got, it's not everything that is written that it will happen. There are some types of reins. Sometimes you get a present, sometimes you get things, sometimes you may be walking and get a treasure. These type of things do happen, sometimes. Inheritance is one very common, apart from others there are sometimes. It do happen and that hits you, you get it without working. Windfall. But all risks, or majority of the risks, I think are the second time. You have to go for it. And Allah has not said what risk, or this hadith doesn't say which risk, or the risk you have got is some, if you hadn't worked, you would have got it or not. No. This is where the thing, you have to work, this is where things can be combined. I see I'm getting sort of extremely carried away. So I think I'll have to stop here and probably sort of finish it next time and then do the last bit, inshallah.